Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome into it. No, it's not Todd Starnes for the day. It is, man, we're back at it. Just a week or so ago, we had the opportunity to fill in here, and we're having some fun again today. My name is Andy Hoosier, filling in for the great Todd Starnes on the Todd Starnes radio program. What's up? Good morning to you. Good afternoon, wherever you may be across the nation as we kick off 4th of July week. Now, I know we're still kind of in limbo between the holidays right now, aren't we? We have 4th of July celebrations going on across the country. The fireworks are booming. The barbecues are being had. The lake venturing is setting forth, however you celebrate your 4th of July, and we're here to fill in that time as Todd taking some time off. Hopefully, he can actually get out and enjoy a little bit for the 4th of July. I want to see some booming happening out there in Memphis, Tennessee, where he's at. So welcome into it. Andy Hoosier filling in for Todd Starnes on the Todd Starnes radio program, which means it's up to you and I to chit to chat, have some fun times, and it's open lines to you today at 844-747-8868. Coming out of the Liberty University studios, I hail from Wichita, Kansas, with one of the great affiliates of Todd Starnes at KQAM Radio out of Wichita. And we have a loaded show lined up for you today. We will get into some issues, I promise, coming up in a little bit. We have like the massive dump of Supreme Court cases that happened at the end of last week. I love how the Supreme Court, right going into the holiday, going into summertime, they're like, ah, here you go, drop all of it off, and then off they go into vacation mode for a couple of months. And we're here kind of scrambling and watching the panic happen ensue, especially the last couple of years, from the left side of the aisle with how much they lose their minds over the decisions coming from the Supreme Court. So we have that issue. We have my personal trip. Yeah, last week, actually, I had the opportunity to go out to the southern border down in McAllen, Texas, and talk about some border issues. I got to see the wall. I got to see the Rio Grande River, talk to some border security agents, and we'll talk about that trip here in a little bit. Hour number two, we'll have Tim Barton. He is the president of Wall Builders. We will talk about some forgotten history, some patriotism, America, baby. And we'll talk about where we are today compared to previous years on education of American history, on the education of the good old U.S. of A. Show of hands, how many people still remember the representation of maybe the American flag? That was taught to me briefly in like the eighth grade, where, you know, the meaning of the stars and stripes, the meanings of the colors, how you properly fold a flag, how you properly display a flag. I'm a dork. I enjoy that stuff. And I think that we need to get back to some of that. Maybe, just maybe, that would help some of the issues in the nation regarding the lack of patriotism or love for the country. So we'll have some fun with that. Now, we're number two. Kicking off hour three, my congressman here from the state of Kansas, and I know he's been a big fan, and he's been a big guest on Todd Starnes' program as well before, Congressman Ron Estes, the 4th District here in Kansas, my congressman, as we talk about some budgetary issues and the attack from the left of the deep cuts that Republicans are advocating for in the appropriations committees. How dare you? How dare you? Try to make some deep cuts into the federal budget. So we have all that, but before we get into any of those issues, I have to complain about something for just a second, and I need your thoughts. I need some help on this. Maybe you have a better idea than myself, because we just came out of the month of June. Thank God. We came out of the month. I love June. June's got some great features, but I'm really kind of tired of the month after the insane pride overload. And what I mean by that is, of course, the Pride Month, where just the agenda is forced down our throats day in and day out. And it's kind of frustrating after a while. You're just going to have to put on the blinders and go about your day. But we came out of that where every streaming service, whether you're signed up with like Netflix or Hulu or HBO, I'm trying to think of the other ones, Peacock, Paramount Plus. There's so many different streaming sources now. Apple. I have three of those. I personally have HBO, Hulu, and Netflix. That's all. And Disney Plus, which I know that's controversial. try and take away the Little Mermaid or try and take away those other Disney movies from Little Voice of Reason, which is what I call it. My show's The Voice of Reason. I call my daughter, she's nine, The Little Voice of Reason. Try and take away those Disney movies, man. Whew, you will never hear the end of that one. So those are the streaming services that I use. And I noticed over the weekend, as I got back from my trip, I did my show, and then we wanted to watch some patriotic movies. It is always tradition in our family to watch the feel-good patriotic hoorah movies on 4th of July. We like to do that for everything. During Christmas time, we watch the Christmas movies. During St. Patrick's Day, yes, there are St. Patrick's movies that you can watch. Remember that Disney movie, Luck of the Irish, where the Irish kid turns into a leprechaun? We watch that. We watch Angela's Ashes. A little bit on the heavier front if you're into that movie, about the potato famine and the depression and the guy living in Ireland, which, by the way, was a true story. Great movie. But during 4th of July, it is one of those few times in the year where we get the hoorah, patriotic, nostalgic feeling of feeling the greatest patriotism we can possibly feel. Watching movies like, I don't know, The Patriot with Mel Gibson. If you haven't seen it, highly recommend. Trying to think of some other, there's so many. I mean, you can watch war movies, which war movies are awesome. I wouldn't recommend you fill your entire day's worth of watching of war movies because that can get pretty heavy on you. But you have so many movies that make you swell up in pride for the nation. Now, the reason I bring this up is because, again, during Pride Month, we had every streaming service out there that changed their logo to the red, to the rainbow colors. We had the categories. Remember, you can click on the category and see every movie that associated with the LGBTQ community in some way, shape, or form on the streaming service right there at the tip of the push of the button. You can see everyone available. And they're there to show you the LGBTQ community, show how prideful people are, to show their pride for the Pride Month. I get on this weekend, on July 1st, on Saturday, and I try to watch The Patriot with Mel Gibson. Now, I have Cox Internet here in the Kansas area, and we luckily have one of those little boxes that's like that has like every streaming service already available on it, so you just click on it, and you can choose which one you want. And I clicked on it, and I searched for The Patriot. Not a single streaming service had it on there available unless you wanted to pay $5 to rent the movie. Now, I have it on DVD, luckily, so I defer back to my DVD and going back to my way of just celebrating and watching it the old school way. But it was right there, the convenience of it, and I want to watch it on my streaming service. Not one of those streaming services, HBO, Hulu, Netflix, not one of them has the category on there of saying, hey, click here and see all of the 4th of July Independence Day patriotic movies. Now, I know this may be a frivolous thing, and some people shaking their head, oh, I don't really care, Andy. It's not a big deal. It's a big deal to me because, I'm sorry, I thought this was America and one of the most patriotic places on the face of the earth.
I'm sorry, I thought this was America.
So I would think, as a capitalist nation that we are, with businesses that are trying to piggyback on every promotional topic out there, I thought that we would go from Pride Month, okay, you're trying to pander to a 5 to 7% of the population that identifies as the LGBTQ community, whatever, I don't agree with it. I'm not going to watch any of those movies. I'm not going to, you know, dive in to see all the rainbow colors. I don't care. Not that I don't care about your lifestyle. I just don't care to watch those movies. That does nothing for me. I want to watch The Expendables. I want to watch action movies. I want to watch comedy movies. I want to watch something fun that does not have an agenda to it. Unless I'm watching it particularly for a promotion like 4th of July. And as a business, you would think that they would go from a Pride Month promotion of, oh, hey, people are focused on Pride issues, here's the Pride category, to now we went from a month pandering to a 5 to 7% of the population to now a promotion, a holiday that 90, 95%, 98% of the population celebrates as well. Another Pride. And yet, they're not there. Now, I will give credit to the Cox Internet that we have with the box with all the streaming services, because what they did was they had a category with the patriotic movies that were dispersed amongst all of the different streaming services. You can watch this movie over here. You can watch this movie over here. You can watch this TV show over here. But it wasn't consolidated into one platform. And I don't know why they don't allow something. So my question to you is at 844-747-8868 is what, number one, your favorite patriotic movie, but what do you do in a time like that? And what does that tell you about these businesses when you would think that, is it, there's two ways it can go. That can either go, number one, this is for a promotion because we're trying to get more streaming users. So therefore, we're going to use and piggyback on every holiday and every promotion to try to appeal to as many people as possible. The smart private market capitalist mentality to do. And you would go from a Pride Month, here's Pride things, to here's patriotic movies in the next category for those that want to watch those. The fact that they don't means that there's maybe a little bit deeper issue in our capitalist system today where maybe they've forgotten or they're trying to promote one particular agenda, which really begs the question, do I continue to spend my money with some of these streaming services that don't have the patriotic movies that I'm looking for? I want to watch The Patriot and cry my eyes out when Mel Gibson's holding that American flag, running through the British soldiers onto the plane and saying, don't retreat, move forward. I want to bawl my eyes out at that time. I want to watch Independence Day where the Americans find a way to defeat the aliens during the alien invasion. I want to watch the really cheesy show like Team America when we sing the song. And you, don't worry, producer, you don't have to realize, America, you know the song from the rest from there. I want to watch those cheesy things because while it may be cheesy, I want to bleed red, white, and blue, baby. Because that's what patriotism is about. That's what 4th of July celebrations are all about as well. I want to shoot the biggest fireworks. I want to barbecue the biggest burger. And I want to watch the patriotic movies that make me bawl my eyes out and say, I love America. There's only a few times in the year where we get the opportunity to do that. And for me, that's like 4th of July, a little bit during Memorial Day, Veterans Day. And then honestly, for me, it's during like the Conservative Political Action Conference that happens at the beginning of each year as well. So what movies do you like to watch, and is it worth supporting these streaming services? Did they miss the boat, or are they trying to promote one particular agenda? In which case, if they are, we could change that very rapidly like we did with, oh, I don't know, Bud Light, when they try to go down an agenda that we don't agree with. Because whether they recognize it or not, we do still have the strongest financial backing. We're still the silent majority in the nation. And we still have a lot of influence over the private market that I think that they've forgotten to some degree. So we'll get your thoughts on that. 844-747-8868. Also, we have a fireworks story because I have to give a lot of credit to a lot of the big cities across the nation. They're finally starting to realize that maybe shooting off bigger fireworks is okay and you don't have to limit them within city limits. That's been a controversial topic for a long time. So we'll do all that and more. We'll go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we'll talk to some of these, and we'll get into the Supreme Court decisions. Because, again, with the big drop that we saw at the end of last week, we have the affirmative action case. We have student loans. We have freedom of speech. We have a lot of issues dismantling the Democrat progressive agenda in one single swoop and one day's drop of, here you go, Democrats, take this one and figure out what to do from there. We'll do all that and more coming up right here on the Todd Starnes radio program. Back right after this.
Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime. And you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com to get started. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com. Or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today.
Welcome back into the Todd Starnes radio program. Andy Hoosier filling in today for a Monday here at the Liberty University Studios, moving them temporarily to Wichita, Kansas. And Todd, I appreciate it, brother, allowing me to fill in for the day. I loved it. We got to do this a week or so ago when Todd was out in New York doing the Newsmax program. And we got to fill in for an hour, the first time on the airwaves. And hopefully you enjoyed it enough so we're back at it for the full three-hour program today. And we absolutely love the opportunity. And thank you again so much. So, question is at 844-747-8868 momentarily. is fireworks and patriotic movies. How do you watch your movies? And do you do the nerdy thing like I do, is watching those movies just to get that feel-good flavor, which you have to do once in a while, man. You have to just boost that little that energy tank. We get so much negativity just in the media altogether on a daily basis. We get the negativity from the other side of the aisle. And then when even half of our elected officials or people that are politically active aren't patriotic or even loving what's going on in the nation, there's a difference between loving the country and loving your government. There's a big difference there. I know what the other side says. You can't do that. The government's not representative of us, and that's really the perfect example and the description of why they believe what they believe, is they truly feel the government is the one that sets the tone for the nation. And that's not the case. We are. We set the tone. We do it ourselves. It's not the government. So we can love the country and the flag and what it represents and what we stand for as a nation and not support what the government's doing because, well, if that were the case, then we'd be in an entirely different situation. I also, and for those that don't know, I am a little bit on the younger flavor, I guess. I'm 34, so I fit into the millennial category. I apologize for that. I'm sorry. I know. I'm sorry. I apologize for my generation every day on the radio. However, we're trying to rebrand them a little bit and show that not all the millennials are crazy, wackadoodle, left-wing nutjobs. So I may be young, but I swear I have an old soul. I swear that I have an old mentality, because if I could, I would walk away from technology. I would live the old school traditional ways. I would live by fire and by, you know, just little hut that I would build in the middle of nowhere and say, to heck with society. That would be my dream. And one of these days, by golly, I'm going to do that when I get into retirement age. And I say, nope, I'm just going to disappear and no one will ever see me again. These aren't the droids you're looking for. But with technology, I realize I have to kind of have to go along with it, which is why we have social media and the interweb and all the, of course, radio technology we deal with on a daily basis. But regarding the 4th of July, there's apparently a lot of places that are going down the idea of using drones instead of fireworks. Now, I'm all about some cool new flashy things. Let me tell you, a really cool light show is really, really neat when you're at a planetarium. But I don't know, man. I'm still kind of in the mindset of how fireworks are like the go-to. And it's not just about the pretty lights, although that is a big factor of it. It's about the entire experience. The smell of the gunpowder. And the loud noises and the explosions that happen. Now, I first want to forewarn you, I totally get a lot of towns and cities are like, well, you know, it hurts the animals. The animals get very scared of it. And veterans who have PTSD, they're concerned about it. Totally understand. Not trying to belittle that in any way, shape, or form. However, I am saying we have an entire year that we're aware of this and we try to prepare for this. Now, people that shoot them off at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning because they're not respectful of others, that's another story. But just because there are some that may have a hard time with this, and we have a year to prepare for said thing, I still think that we have an opportunity to have fun with our fireworks, because that's the – we got to remember what this represents, right? This represents the bombs bursting in air during the Revolution War when we sing it in our national anthem. When we think of the images and we watch movies like The Patriot and we see the bombs going off and the explosions that are going on in the airwaves every day. It's a representation of that, on how brutal it was, but yet how beautiful the outcome was because of what we were fighting for and the symbolism of what it means. There's something special to that. And while I get the new technology, I think maybe that could be an addition to, not a supplementation of. I could be wrong on that, but I really like the idea of sticking with the traditional fireworks. But in the new technology today, that's not what people are going for. And many cities are transitioning away from the actual firework celebrations to drones and the lighted shows that way, which, again, may be neat, but not really what we stand for and what we represent. Maybe I'm digging my heels in the sand too much. I'm already the get off my lawn kind of guy at 34 years old, and I'm okay with that, by golly. And we're going to continue to roll with it. All right, when we come back, I know we have to take a break here momentarily, so I'll kind of set this up for you here. Bottom of the hour, we're going to shift gears. The Supreme Court of the United States did a major dump of their cases at the end of last week, going into the 4th of July, which means you may not have been aware of what happened. And while the Supreme Court usually isn't top of mind for people, the dumps that they've been doing the last couple of years have been impressive, interesting, and absolutely hilarious to watch the other side of the aisle. Obviously, last year we saw the ending of the Roe v. Wade issue and abortion at the federal level being protected to move down to the statewide levels, along with some other major key issues that have been the staples of the Democrat platform. So we'll get into some of those from last year and this year when we come back right around the corner. It's the Todd Starnes radio program. Lots more coming up. Stay right here.
If you are looking for MyPillow, you will not find it in the big box stores. And the reason why? It's pretty awful. MyPillow's been canceled by the cancel culture mob. And that's why Mike Lindell wants to sell directly to you. And that comes with some great savings. You're going to be able to get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard pillow. Normally $69.98, now only $19.98 with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow does more than just pillows. They have over 150 products, everything from sleepwear to slippers, even doggy beds and human beds. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. And use the promo code STARNES or call 800-544-8939. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes or call 1-800-544-8939. Use the promo code STARNES.
Welcome back into it. It's the Todd Starnes radio program. Moving through a Monday today. Andy Hoosier filling in. Appreciate the opportunity to do so. Always fun. And let's get you patriotic. Let's feel that red, white, and blue pumping through your blood, shall we, as we go into it. I mean, we're still a day out, which means we've had an extended holiday going from really Friday night all the way through Tuesday. I guess you kind of have to sort of go back to work and do your regular routine by Wednesday. Outside of that, though, it's been fun. Let's get into it, shall we? Supreme Court of the United States. We've had a few major bombshells drop over the last year. Would you agree with that? Something. I mean, it's been big for us. We enjoy it,
and I think we're going to make it big league.
And oh, by the way, how did we get the opportunity to do that? Maybe because, well, we had a Republican president that realized the importance of the Supreme Court, because Republicans for years didn't really focus on that issue. Democrats have kind of dominated the legal system, and we've had some really, really, really bad opinions coming from the Supreme Court for a long time. And it was because why?
That's right. Donald Trump did that.
Yeah. So there's that part. So last year, if you remember, just kind of a recap for you, we had the reversal of Roe v. Wade coming from the Supreme Court that caused absolute chaos from the left side of the aisle because they thought that abortion was a protected right from the Constitution. Now, I fail to find that anywhere in the Constitution, but that's what they said. As conservatives, I always talk about on the program three pillars of conservatism, to where outside of that, I really don't like any other laws or don't really care about anything else. Because as conservatives, we like limited government and the ability for the individual to be successful and do our own thing, which means for my three pillars, it's the right to life, right to liberty, right to private property. The right to life, first and foremost, obviously, which includes the children, the right to liberty, where you have the right to work, you have the right to live your life, you have the right to get the resources you need to take care of yourself and your families, and then the right to private property. As long as you are not stealing from somebody else or taking their property in any way, shape, or form, that also goes into production means. If you create something, you're obviously creating something of value, and if someone does not take that away from you, then you're in good shape. Outside of those things, life, liberty, and private property, I really don't care about anything else. And that's really the mindset that so many other have. Last year, also, we saw the shooting down of the Environmental Protection Agency, kind of giving them a big hit, which, again, the Democrats, that's their gold mine right there, is the EPA. And when the Supreme Court said that the EPA could not just willy-nilly raise taxes or spend more money or create more regulation without congressional approval, that was a big hit for them. Because that has been the way the Democrats have controlled us for a very long time, was, oh, hey, by the way, this is harming the environment. You can't do that anymore. Oh, by the way, corporations, you need to stop doing what you're doing with your production. You need to put in all these different regulations as well and control factors to try and save the planet. And therefore, we get to now dominate your industry and tell you how you do your job. Socialism through the idea of saving the planet. And I'm all about saving the planet. I mean, conservatives, we actually like to go out in the woods and not see two-headed deer. We like to go fishing and not catch a three-eyed fish. We like to actually go out there and make sure that we can eat what we catch or that we can enjoy without littering. I mean, I was in the Boy Scouts. They always said to leave your campground better than the way you saw it when you got there in the first place. We're all about conservation. But that doesn't mean that, oh, hey, that mountain's about to die, so therefore you need to stop doing any type of manufacturing. And, oh, by the way, we're just going to tell you how to do your job through the government because you know oh so well the government is really great at efficiency, right? Is that? Oh, okay. So that being said, what was laid down on the gauntlet this year was probably the heart of the progressive agenda, the identity politics for one. Now, we'll get into student loans in a minute because that's been a hot topic, at least for me, that I focused a lot of time on was the student loan forgiveness program. But the other big one, man, affirmative action. And I did not think that one would ever go away. A 50-year precedent on affirmative action, boom, out the window, done for the Supreme Court saying, that's not going to fly anymore, saying that it violated the 14th Amendment, which we'll get to in just a second. Now, before we do that specifically, I would like to remind you that Democrats have used the courts really for the past couple decades. If they can't get it through Congress because it's not popular, if they don't have enough votes, they'll either do it two ways. They'll either do it through executive order, because why not just increase the executive branch, or they'll do it through the courts. They'll challenge it in court. They have activist judges on there saying, oh, yeah, it's a living constitution. And then they end up ruling the proper way, according to them, and then we have these rules and we can't do anything about it. Because for those, and this may be a great civics lesson for the 4th of July holiday, we have three branches of government, with the executive that enforces laws that are passed by the legislative branch that creates laws, and then the judicial branch oversees it to see if it's constitutional or legal. And each one of them has a checks and balance system, and each one of them can be overridden by the other two branches to make sure one branch does not have more power than the other. That, however, is not being taken appropriately by the other side, who is absolutely livid about the decisions, including affirmative action and student loans.
We have justices saying that the Supreme Court is going themselves much too far. They are expanding their role into acting as though they are Congress itself. We really must be focusing on the danger of this court and the abuse of power in this court. There also must be impeachment on the table. The Supreme Court has not been receiving the adequate oversight necessary in order to preserve their own legitimacy.
Wow. That was Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, one of my favorite people to pick on because she's just so easy to do so.
I am told this is a garbage disposal.
So that is her. That was on CNN. And those were a couple little snippets of a kind of a montage that was put together by Fox News of her interview on Friday and over the weekend, talking about how the Supreme Court has abused their power. The nine black robe judges that give opinions, remember, they're not setting law. They're giving opinions based on their interpretation of the Constitution, is now abusing their power. We need to look at impeachment from the Supreme Court, and they're becoming the authoritarians in society because they did not get the way that they wanted to. Now, you have to put this into context for a second, shall we? You have to remember that this is the Democrat Party that throws the ultimate temper tantrums. Let's just put it that way. When they're the kid in the candy store that when they ask, Mama, can I have a piece of candy? And you're like, no, we're going to have dinner soon. And they get so angry that they, while they're holding the hands of their parents, they flop down on the floor, probably dislocating their shoulders, throwing the ultimate temper tantrum, squirming, yelling, and screaming, causing a ruckus in the store because they did not get the candy that they wanted. They're the ones, as the kids, if you remember this when you were a child or you see your kids doing it now, your grandkids, you see them now when they're playing the board game or playing a card game and the kid is starting to lose and they panic because they don't want to lose. So in the middle of the game, they change the rules of the game so that way they have the advantage. No, only the red one is allowed to go six paces on the board now. That's the Democrat Party. So this is the party that for the last 50, 60 years, we've had absurd rulings come out or opinions come out of the Supreme Court saying that Obamacare was legitimate under the Commerce Clause, saying, as Barack Obama said, that Obamacare wasn't a tax on people. The only way it was constitutional to remain in power was under the Commerce Clause as a tax on the American people. And the numerous times we've tried to repeal it, the Supreme Court has upheld it, saying, oh, yeah, it's totally a tax and it's under the Commerce Clause, not a big deal. You can totally consume an entire sixth of the U.S. economy. That's the party that we're up against here. And now that they're starting to get rulings that they don't like because of a Republican president that was able to change the course of the Supreme Court, now they're saying they're authoritarian and they're abusive, because you got to remember, there are two things that came out this year that is the absolute platform of the Democrat Party, and that is the consolidation of the economy based on socialism with the student loan forgiveness program, and affirmative action, which goes into the identity politics that everybody that is not white in the nation is a victim. And because they're a victim, they have less opportunities than anyone else. And therefore, the government needs to put them up and give them the quote unquote handout and the helping hand. Joy Reid, which is very difficult to listen to, so I'll try and keep this short, although this is about a minute audio clip. Joy Reid was on MSNBC over the weekend as well, responding to this, not talking about the merits of the actual case itself on affirmative action, but of course, doing what Democrats do best, which is going on the personal assault of others who they disagree with, even if they're of the same flavor or of the same skin color that apparently makes some difference in some way, shape, or form. But it's not, because if you're of the same minority skin color and they think differently than you, then they're probably a sellout. They're the quote-unquote Uncle Tom. Not my words. Those are the words of the other side. And that's why Joy Reid was going off on none other and Clarence Thomas.
Clarence Thomas has been on a mission to dismantle every institutional attempt to help and aid not just black people, but any people who have been disadvantaged in this society since he's gotten on the court. He, like Samuel Alito, appears to operate from a kind of rage, a sort of cold rage against the entire 20th century, the second half of the 20th century, which they find to be an affront to their own self-image and to their image of America as this country that is noble and that has always been noble, and whose slaveholding founders were noble and really hated slavery and were just so pained at the fact that they had to own all these people, and that their wealth was derived from owning these people, but really they were good-hearted. And that's kind of what his concurrence discusses.
Wow. She went there, man. Now, hold on. Can you correct me? Can you remind me again? Because I seem to forgot. I was lost during the delusional speech of Joy Reid on MSNBC. Clarence Thomas, he's of the darker skin complex, right? Now, again, for us that don't care about identity politics and don't care about what color skin you have, that makes no difference whatsoever. But apparently, according to Joy Reid and others, that the minority community is like their own special unit. And Clarence Thomas, being part of that same unit, is now the most evil, horrible person on the face of the earth, because he interprets history a little bit differently than them, saying that all the slave owners and the founding fathers were evil. We need to completely disregard the United States altogether, which ties into why maybe we're seeing as much patriotism in the nation anymore, because that's what's being taught in our public schools, that everybody was evil. The landowners were terrible. The founding fathers were terrible. They were all just these slave drivers that were whipping them day in and day out. And I'm not saying things that happened were great, but that's what they focus on. That's what fuels them to wake up in the morning, is this absolute vile hatred of this nation while they enjoy all the benefits of it. Joy Reid is worth how many millions of dollars, probably, with a contract with MSNBC, but yet she's still somehow oppressed by the quote-unquote white guy in society. And Clarence Thomas, who has worked his way up. Now, if you don't know Clarence Thomas's story, it's kind of amazing. Not being able to speak English, coming from another country, having the opportunity to go to a great school and become a Supreme Court Justice of the United States, impacting law for the entire nation. What she tries to address as well later on in her little speech here, in her tirade, about he's trying to take that opportunity away from everybody else.
Clarence Thomas was born in Pinpoint, Georgia. He is of the Gullah extraction. Yep. He didn't even speak English until he was 7 years old. He spoke the Geechee tongue and was so afraid to speak in front of white people, because he was always told, don't speak Geechee in front of white people because it would embarrass you, that he almost never spoke at all. Mm-hmm. There was a nun, a white nun, whose largesse helped get him through school and get him those good grades. He has been assisted you know, by white patrons, really his whole life, even now by very rich ones, as they fly him around the country. And to your very point, he seems to deeply resent all of the assistance he got, and he wants to make sure that nobody like him ever gets that kind of help again.
I mean, seriously, is that what we're doing now?
Say what?
Is that the direction we're going now? Is he doesn't want anybody to have that same opportunity. Getting he used affirmative action for his abilities and then stripped it away from everybody else. This is the delusion we're up against right now. This makes no sense in any way, shape, or form. So now the question is, what are they going to do to try and rebound? Because remember, Democrats don't give up. If they start losing the game, they find a way to change the rules of the game. So the question is, what are they going to do to revert back and get back what they wanted, which is abortion, which is affirmative action, which is environmental protection control, which is student loan forgiveness, and every other agenda that the Supreme Court has shot down from them. And the first way to do that is to demonize someone like Clarence Thomas, who is a minority. So I'm curious on why that's okay to do so, because if we said these exact same things from someone to the other side, and if they were a different skin color, then we would be labeled the ultimate racist on the face of the earth. But Clarence Thomas apparently is a sellout and cares about nobody else about him other than himself. And he has been bought and paid for by the quote unquote white people of America, according to Joy Reid. Absolute nuts, man. 844-747-8868, 844-747-8868. If you want to chime in on this and get your thoughts on Joy Reid, this affirmative action. So what this means now is this is the last semester coming up in the fall semester, the last school year where students actually utilize the affirmative action mindset, meaning that universities have to say, well, we have 50 openings and we have to disperse them to have a certain percentage of every certain type of minority group in there to properly represent those demographics. Instead of saying, like Harvard, for example, which Joy Reid said she went to, and oh, by the way, she said she would not have gotten in unless she had affirmative action. We'll get to that here in just a little bit. They openly say, well, now we're just going to open it up to qualified individuals, people that actually made the right grades and are doing what they have to do to get into a prestigious school like, I don't know, Harvard. We'll do some more of that when we come back here. This is the Todd Starnes radio program. Back after this.
Are you looking for more in this world? Are you ready for something bigger? Then we are looking for you. The big-hearted, the bold, the messy and the gutsy. The teachers, the growers, the builders. The skilled, the sharers, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go all in and all out. We are volunteers, partners, communities, working together, living together, bringing our experience, passion, and joy to building a better world together. From tackling climate change in Mexico to keeping kids healthy in Kenya, from sustainable farming in the Philippines to education in Kosovo, we learn more, give more, share freely, and serve boldly. Are you ready to tackle the tough stuff, to go the distance to make a difference? Then we have a place where you belong. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
Welcome back into it. It's the Todd Starnes radio program. Hour number one, flying right on by, man. We got so much more to talk about and so little time to do it. Hey, I want to tell you about Todd's friends here as well on the program, our friends over at Patriot Mobile. Now more than ever, it's important to show companies and organizations that share our values. Obviously, not purchasing a Bud Light and sipping on that during the 4th of July celebrations would be one example of that. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier that not only share our beliefs, but they actually do something about it as well. Patriot Mobile donates a portion of every dollar to organizations that fight for causes that you actually care about. Switch to Patriot Mobile now and use the promo code Todd to get a free activation and a free gift from them as well. Patriot Mobile has the broadest nationwide coverage and uses the same towers as every other carrier, which means you're not going to have the dead spots and the dropping like some of those other off-brand types. They use plans to fit any budget along with great discounts for our veteran and first responder heroes, as well as multi-line users. Switching to Patriot Mobile, the nation's largest and best one here, is easy. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Todd or call their U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. Get your special discount and a free Premier activation by using promo code Todd. For more information and more details, go to the website patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. I love that. America, baby. And switch, because it is so important for us right now more than ever to support those businesses that support the same agenda as what we have, like, I don't know, trying to preserve the United States. Now that the Supreme Court's making these decisions, now that the left is angry about these major decisions from the Supreme Court, what are they going to do to try and change that narrative? I have a few ideas. That could be, I don't know, maybe trying to fight to expand the Supreme Court again. Maybe trying to pass more executive orders. Maybe trying to make D.C. the state like they've wanted to all along. Two more senators, which would pretty much solidify a Democrat-controlled branch of that chamber of Congress. They have some ideas. And with these major decisions going our way, it's our time to make sure that we preserve them and don't let them go back the other direction.
Are you looking for more in this world? Are you ready for something bigger? Then we are looking for you. The big-hearted, the bold, the messy and the gutsy. The teachers, the growers, the builders. The skilled, the sharers, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go all in and all out. We are volunteers, partners, communities, working together, living together, bringing our experience, passion, and joy to building a better world together. From tackling climate change in Mexico to keeping kids healthy in Kenya, from sustainable farming in the Philippines to education in Kosovo, we learn more, give more, share freely, and serve boldly. Are you ready to tackle the tough stuff? To go the distance to make a difference? Then we have a place where you belong. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's it. American.
Yes, indeed. Welcome into it. It's the Todd Starnes radio program. Todd out for the day, enjoying, hopefully, his 4th of July celebrations. Happy Independence Day. Happy 4th of July to you. Andy Hoosier filling in for the day today on a beautiful Monday, moving the Liberty University studios out to Wichita, Kansas, where I hail from, with one of his affiliate stations, KQAM Radio out of Wichita, and it's great to be along with you for the ride today. Boy, do we have a lot to get to, covered a lot of ground in the first hour. Bottom of this hour, we have Tim Barton. He's the president of Wall Builders, wallbuilders.com, as we talk about some forgotten history in the United States, and as we try to bring that patriotism and that America feeling, then what have we forgotten? What's being censored and the mindset that the other side has. We heard from Joy Reid from MSNBC about the vile hate that Clarence Thomas has for people of his own skin color because of getting rid of affirmative action, which is kind of hysterical. So we'll talk some more about that. We have the student loan forgiveness program that was shut down as well, and the new plan of the Biden administration to try and revamp that in just a different light. Will that come to light? We'll do that here in just a little bit. You can call the program. It's open lines at 844-747-8868, 844-747-8868. And you know what? Let's kick off hour number two with a phone call, shall we? Let's go to William, North Carolina, WSIC. William, what's going on, brother? How you doing?
Pretty good, Andy. Appreciate you taking my call today, and I hope you have a good fourth tomorrow and the rest of your week.
You as well, my friend.
Just as a normal patriot here, just enjoying my freedom. And these people, whether they high up in the office in Washington, D.C., or just average kickers like myself, if you don't like America and you don't like the ways, leave.
You would think that would be easy. And they threaten to do so, don't they? But they never actually do it.
You know, the left is trying to, they're communism. And if there's anybody that knows about communism, go down there and talk to them Cubans in Miami. They'll let you know all about that down there. Mm. So going back to the courts, I think what they did last week was a good thing. It's a turntable. They finally got something right. And I didn't go to a major college. I went to a technical school. Mom and dad helped me out with the fees, and then I worked and helped pay the rest of it, and that's how we did it. We earned it. And I guarantee you, every one of those judges on the Supreme Court did the same thing. They earned it. And that's what they passed that ruling on, based upon that idea that you have to earn your education, not give it handed to you on a silver platter. And that's the problem, Andy, in this world today that we live in. There's too many people walking around thinking they're entitled, and they're not, and they need to realize that.
I am right there with you, my friend. You're right. The American dream was built on the fact that people worked hard, and they worked really long, aggressive hours. They put their due in, and they built it. I mean, we always talk about, and everybody always talks about, the great cycle of, you know, good times create weak men create hard times, you know, or the weak men create the hard times create hard men, the hard men create good times. And it's this ongoing vicious cycle. We're at that peak now where the hard men have created good times, but the good times have created those weak people, and now the weak people are creating those hard times all over again. The question is, are we going to rise up to that challenge and rebuild it? Because you're right, we don't need things handed off on a golden platter. Look, as I said, I'm 34. I'm part of that millennial generation. We got those participation trophies, and I apologize for my generation all the time, because we expect, not me, in general terms, many of them expect a handout because they show up. And with affirmative action and some of these issues, you're right, some have gotten into higher education, pretty prestigious places, based on not the qualifications of how good they did, but based on their skin color, so therefore they qualified. Which, honestly, William, didn't that make sense on why we have so many, quote-unquote, really not-so-smart people as lawyers and elected officials that said, I graduated from Harvard, when maybe they shouldn't have even gone there in the first place because they shouldn't have qualified from the beginning?
And on that note, I paid my mom and dad back, too. They just helped me out, you know, because part-time job and going to school, you couldn't afford to pay all of it. But, you know, you're living proof of the, all millennials ain't bad. I'm of the baby boomer generation, so there's hope. There's some millennials out there that are okay. But, you know, I've got a couple kids probably about your age. But anyway, it's just, I just think it was a good thing what they did last week. And what you've got is a bunch of wolves up there in Washington, D.C., and they're running out of things to attack. So they're starting to attack each other, and that's what we're seeing. So now, I don't know what Joe Biden's going to do other than the usual. They'll probably try to pack the courts, you know, but we just got to get that man out of office. If nothing else, we got to get him out, because he's incompetent. He doesn't even know what day it is sometimes.
He didn't remember his name half the time. Yeah. No, you're right. It is now, we're finally seeing some. No, go ahead.
It's a sad situation to see our president like that. And I don't know if it's some of it's fake or if it really legitimately has a problem, but I think it's a little bit of both. But it's just sad to see, because in my history of old enough to see what politics is about, what we go vote for at the voting booth, I've never seen anything like this before.
I completely agree, William. I appreciate that call very much, my friend, and happy Independence Day weekend to you. You guys enjoy that one. You're right. We have lowered the standards for a lot of things. Remember the old adage we always joke about, well, it's good enough for government work. We've lowered that quality even lower than I thought we could ever lower it now, with having a president that doesn't even remember his name half the time in office, which, by the way, we usually do a check-in with Joe Biden every day on, you know, Joe, I know you're getting older, having a little trouble. You doing all right, buddy? Feeling good?
I want to be clear. I'm not going nuts.
just making sure. By the way, William, you brought up the fact that, you know, the ones that have seen communism, the ones that have seen socialism and authoritarianism, the Cubans coming up into Miami, into Florida, from the country, actually seeing what that actually looks like. I had to play this. I had to bring it up and go into my archives and find this. Because if you remember just a week or two ago, when Donald Trump was down in Florida for his quote-unquote arraignment and his court hearings, and then he showed up at the restaurant, and all the Cubans and Hispanics were showing up in groves to try and support him. The media, especially Chuck Todd, lost his mind and had no clue how to cover this as it was happening. And the audio of him live on TV trying to describe Hispanics and their support for Donald Trump at that place was absolutely hysterical.
My word. I mean, we've not seen something like this in the United States before, where a political figure like this is under legal threat and he goes to celebrate and there are people there ready to celebrate. And he's, I mean, we've seen this take place in other countries where you've had corrupt, you know, political figures accused of corruption do this. There is a faction of South Florida, very conservative MAGA Hispanics who are very much rally around, sort of almost see common cause of the injustices of America with Cuba and Venezuela. And he's trying to wrap himself in this, in the sort of the folks who claim they're exiles in the exile community. And it's a real perversion of what the exile community used to fight for. I mean, this is what makes it so surreal to see it here in the United States. We were the safe haven for those that were escaping moments like this.
Major broadcast fail right there. Sorry, guys. Sorry, that was Chuck Todd again. Can't believe it. Remember, this is the elitist white guy trying to tell minorities that came from a communist nation and fled from the communist nation how they should be feeling and how it's a major perversion for them to partner with Donald Trump on the political persecution of a former president based on his political enemies and Democrats who do not want to see him back in office again. That's the guy that's trying to describe why he's getting so much Hispanic support is because the perversion of them trying to find some type of common ground is being persecuted and how they just don't understand what's really going on. Man, these guys, I'm telling you, I've never seen such delusion. Usually when you look out and you look at the sky and you're like, wow, it's a beautiful sky outside, a little bit of cloud, some nice clear blue skies, a nice beautiful sun. If someone else of that flavor, meaning the Democrats and progressives, look out there and they're like, oh my God, it's so horrible. Donald Trump created that. Donald Trump did that one.
That's right. Donald Trump did that.
That's why we had Joy Reid not only go after Clarence Thomas during the affirmative action case, but also said the only reason she got into Harvard was because of the fact that, well, affirmative action, obviously.
Well, let me just be clear. I got into Harvard only because of affirmative action. I went to a school no one had ever heard of in Denver, Colorado, in a small suburb. I didn't go to Exeter or Andover. Yeah, I didn't have college test prep. I just happened to be really nerdy and smart and have really good grades and good SAT scores. Right. But someone came to Denver, Colorado to look for me. A Harvard recruiter flew to Denver, and I met up with her at the Village Inn restaurant and did a pre-interview to get to pull me into Harvard. I was pulled in, and the schools like Harvard and Yale that I got into affirmatively.
Yes.
And it was literally not saying we're going to take an unqualified person and put them in Harvard. Yes. We're going to take a very qualified person who we would never know existed and put them in Harvard. That's how I got there. That's how Ketanji got there. That's how Justice Jackson, I should say. Justice Jackson got there. It's how Clarence Thomas got there.
I'm not quite sure that she exactly knows how affirmative action works. And no, that's not the case. The reason I don't know you is because you probably didn't even apply to go to Harvard because maybe your grades weren't good enough. So in case for those that are a little bit on the slower end of the spectrum don't grasp this here, affirmative action says that you have to have a certain percentage of certain demographics, of certain races, of certain genders, of whatever flavor that they think is really important to them, they have to have a certain percentage of that. So therefore, they have standards for each one of them because they say, well, the black population, for example, is mostly inner city, so therefore their education isn't quite as good, which on a side note is hilarious because that's where 90% of all the public school funding goes. So there's that aspect to it. But yet their qualifications are a little bit lower because of the fact that they have more difficult time actually getting into these schools. Asians, they're well on the private school level and a little bit higher EQs. There was a story I just read last week that said that one individual of the Asian demographic got denied by six different high-end schools like Harvard and others because even though they had the perfect IQ, they had the perfect GDP scores, they had the perfect SAT scores, it didn't fit because they had already filled their quota for affirmative action. So the Supreme Court's repealing of this issue is more American than what we can imagine, because their argument is that it violates the 14th Amendment having this, because what we're essentially doing is limiting the ability for those to actually be successful and actually flourish with the American dream, which is what the 14th Amendment essentially states, saying that no state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall they deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws, meaning we all have equal opportunity, not equal outcome, equal opportunity. And when you start implementing something like affirmative action, you are now saying there is a certain number of open spaces, and we're going to keep it open for the ones that most qualify for this position. But instead of doing that, there may be some more qualified ones, but you don't fit the narrative that we want. You don't fit the demographic percentage that fills our quota. Literally limiting the ability for individuals to succeed and have the American dream in this nation. Clarence Thomas obviously was able to gain that. Joy Reid was able to piggyback on that, which, by the way, if she openly admitted that affirmative action allowed her to get into Harvard, does that openly admit that she wasn't smart enough to do it herself? That she wasn't able to get in there and do it based on her credentials? She had to have the handout in order to get in there. So the one that had to get the handout in order to get to Harvard for the elite college, university, and degree is the one trying to tell us how the world should run because she doesn't quite understand how some of these things work. That's kind of ironic. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we'll shift gears a little bit here. This is Andy Hoosier filling in for the great Todd Starnes on the Todd Starnes radio program.
Johnny Saddlebags.
Slippery Pete.
This town ain't big enough for the both of us.
Ain't but one thing to do.
Yep, start banking at Community Banks.
Say what now?
We'll grow this town bigger by doing business with Community Banks. That way our money will get reinvested locally and help small businesses grow and prosper.
Son of a saddle spur. This town will be big enough for the both of us.
Help your community grow. Find your community bank at banklocally.org.
What's up? Welcome back into it. It's the Todd Starnes radio program. Andy Hoosier filling in. You can find Todd on his website, toddstarnes.com. Also, all of his social media as well, keeping everything running and rolling. All the great content that he has out, highly recommended. He's got some pretty entertaining stuff both on the social media and his website. You can get it at toddstarnes.com. I'm Andy Hoosier, the honored filling in today for a Monday. You can find me at my website, HoosierReason.com. There's no I in Hoosier, H-O-O-S-E-R, Reason.com. And all my social media is also at Hoosier Reason on the Facebook and the Tweety and the Instagram. And yes, even TikTok. I do have a TikTok, plus my YouTube channel, Twitch.tv, and all the others. So it's hard to keep up, man. I just can't keep up on all the social media. But nonetheless, you can check it out there. You can check out Todd Starnes, and highly recommend that you do. Real quickly, on the side from the Supreme Court, outside of the affirmative action issue, there's also the student loan forgiveness program. Now, remember, this is the side, the left, that when they lose, then they are the sore losers because they never lose. Prime example would be the debt ceiling bill that we just saw in the last month of, hey, get on board with us or else you're not compromising and working across the aisle and finding middle ground. That's the way negotiations have been done in D.C. for far too long, and Democrats have forgotten to actually know what it feels like to take a hit and not promote their agenda. So when the Supreme Court does their major dump of all these issues, actually bringing us back to somewhat constitutionality, we still have a long ways to go, but at least we're getting better and really some monumental cases that I did not think would be there, they lose their minds. AOC saying that they're becoming authoritarian and abusing their power as the guys and gals who just give their opinions on legal issues. Joe Biden, when it came to the Supreme Court and student loan forgiveness program, said that the SCOTUS that completely just misrepresented the Constitution completely.
Counsel, did you overstep your authority? Did you overstep your authority?
I think the court misinterpreted the Constitution.
This is the guy who doesn't remember his name half the time. This is the guy who doesn't know where he's at half the time, or, you know, doesn't know what "Let's go, Brandon" actually means. This is the president of the United States lowering that standard to become a daycare facility for senior citizens. Not to be knocking senior citizens here, but the one that's supposed to be running the country that's struggling. And he says that the Supreme Court misinterpreted the Constitution because apparently there's somewhere in there some type of wording that says the government shall consume people's debts and break contracts based on the signatures of paying that debt back. and that the government can consume massive amounts of debt and consolidate the economy through their socialist push. So like every other good little Democrat, when they lose, they have to find an alternative way to come back, rebound, and do it again much more stronger.
First, I'm announcing today a new path consistent with today's ruling to provide student debt relief to as many borrowers as possible, as quickly as possible. We will ground this new approach in a different law than my original plan, the so-called Higher Education Act. That will allow Secretary Cardona, who's with me today, to compromise, waive, or release loans under certain circumstances.
Now, for those that don't know, they tried to do the student loan forgiveness through the HEROES Act of 2003, saying that during emergencies, that if you can't pay those debts, that it's better to especially take care of those that are quote-unquote heroes, to be able to just wipe it off and help take care of them. Now that the COVID-19 pandemic is done and over, that's null and void. That's no longer a thing. And with the false claim from the Biden administration that they've created 10 million jobs in the nation, everybody's doing great, inflation's down, the economy's rocking, best economy we've ever seen in our entire life, which is not true, but that's what they try to say. They still try to say that while everything's great, we still can't afford to pay our bills. That didn't happen. So now they have to go through the congressional approval like an actual bill. So good news for us, at least for now, holding on to the House of Representatives, we don't have to worry about that, or at least we need to make sure that we don't worry about that. But finding special circumstances, quote unquote, to try and forgive student loans is the next attempt from them. So be prepared for that big battle. Tim Barton, right around the corner here on the Todd Starnes radio program. Back into it is the Todd Starnes radio program. Andy Hoosier filling in, hailing from Wichita, Kansas, moving the Liberty University studios out yonder to the heartland of America, going from Memphis, Tennessee. Todd having the day off. Andy Hoosier having the great honor. Appreciate that to allow us to come in and have some fun on the program today. Hey, want to tell you about our partners over at MyPillow and MyPillow.com. And I don't know how they do it, but they do it. Now, I have my MyPillow, and it's amazing. And now, Mike Lindell, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, the man himself, Mike Lindell, coming out with the MyPillow, launching the MyPillow 2.0. Say what? Yeah, I know. How do you do something like that?
Say what?
When Mike invented the MyPillow, it had everything that you could ever want in a pillow. And now, just 20 years later, he discovered new technology that makes it even better, which is kind of awesome. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill on the original MyPillow, and now with a brand new fabric that's made with the temperature-regulating thread. Yeah. Being a talk show radio host, obviously, I'm a bit of a hothead. At least that's what some tell me. I don't know. I'm kind of a go-along, good, friendly kind of guy, but it keeps me nice and cool at night, which makes me happy, and more comfortable and relaxed and actually get a good night's sleep. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. For the exclusive listeners right here on the Todd Starnes radio show, MyPillow 2.0 is a buy one, get one free offer with the promo code STARNES. MyPillow 2.0 temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the U.S. of A. It comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee, but there's no reason why you're going to be trading this bad boy back in. Just go to MyPillow.com and click the radio listener square to buy the buy one, get one. Enter the promo code STARNES or call 800-839-8506. That's 800-839-8506 to get your MyPillows 2.0 right now. What a heck of a deal. All right, so we'll get to Tim Barton on the program here momentarily. Busy kind of guy. Obviously, it's the holidays, so not a big deal as we continue to move through the Supreme Court cases. The Biden administration coming out with their new plan, because when they don't win, then they find a way to win. And here's my question to you at 844-747-8868, 844-747-8868, is how much student loan debt do you have and have you paid off? Just as a forewarning here, being 34 myself, I went to college. Didn't do great in college, dropped out after 2 years with the student university because I realized I was spending way too much money learning how to drink a keg of beer upside down. So there was that. I was running the college Republicans, but that was about the extent of my – I take that back. I did find out, quote unquote, who I was and what I wanted to do, because that's what led me to the radio industry. And look what we're at today. All these years later, my very first radio program was at the college radio station. But with that also came along with, you're going to gasp here for a second, $88,000 in student loan debt.
I know.
$88,000 of student loan debt. Now, that was because I went out of state and I took out living expenses and I didn't work. I was like the most financially irresponsible guy I ever thought. But I thought, like everybody else at that age, was, well, that's what everybody does. It's just a normal thing, and it'll be totally easy to pay all this back. I'll be making like 200 grand walking out easy. I'll pay this bad boy off in like 6 months, and it'll be muy bueno. That obviously didn't happen. I have worked it down to about $50,000 now. So, and the student loan forgiveness program that would have happened would only have covered like maybe $8,000 to $10,000 of mine, because the rest of mine, me thinking the government's so evil, I didn't actually use government loans, but I used private loans, which means even if this would have happened, I would not have been part of that program in the first place. But because the Supreme Court, so that's where my grounding is here. I have the student loans. I get it. I pay about $1,000 a month on my student loans just to try and get this stuff paid down a little bit. And it's very frustrating. But nonetheless, people now apparently are standing up and saying they're not going to pay them. There's now a movement from the Democrat side of the aisle and those that are holding student loans refusing to pay back their loans, saying that because they were promised to have their student loan relief and not having to pay on many of them for the last 3 years during the COVID-19 pandemic, that they weren't going to pay them. Nope, they're putting their foot down and they're not going to pay it. Which is why the Biden administration, trying to hold on to that younger demographic, trying to buy out those votes, has come out with their two-stage plan. One, with this new bill, this whatever he calls it, the Higher Education Act, that I don't know any details about, but will have to go through Congress in order to happen, which is not going to happen because the House of Representatives, currently run by the majority of the Republicans, will not allow it. The second plan is going to be some type of on-ramp or something.
Second, we know what many borrowers will need to make their hard choices, which their budgets are being strained now when they start to repay their monthly loan payments this fall. You know, we know that figuring out how to pay these added expenses can take time for borrowers, and they might miss payments at the front end as they get back into repayment. Normally, this could lead borrowers to fall into delinquency and default. But without their financial, it will hurt their financial security, and that's not good for them or the economy. That's why we're creating a temporary 12-month, what we're calling on-ramp repayment program. And now, this is not the same as a student loan pause. It's been in effect for the past 3 years. Monthly payments will be due. Bills will not go out, and interest will be accruing. And during this period, if you can pay your monthly bills, you should. But if you cannot, if you miss payments, this on-ramp will temporarily remove the threat of default or having your credit harmed, which can hurt borrowers for years to come.
Oh, man. I'm telling you, this is where we're at today. This reminds me of a story when I was actually in college. I was running the College Republicans at the time, and at our Student Union Center, kind of the main portion of campus wherever all the organizations would have booths. You can sign up. You can learn more information about them. There was always, in one of the tables that was always there, was the Communist Party that was on campus. Hilarious, right? I know. And I don't know how many members they actually had at the university, but there was a Communist Party, the Bowling Green Communist Party. For those who don't, I went to Bowling Green State University in Bowling Green, Ohio, just a little bit south of Toledo, up in that northwest corner. And for the 2 years that I went, let's preface that. But one of the times I was intrigued by what the Communist Party was trying to promote, and they always had a newspaper at their table where you could get a newspaper and read essentially their Communist Manifesto on university grounds. And one of the times I walked up to the table, and the guy was nice enough, but I asked him, I said, "Hey, how much for the newspaper?" And I'll never forget this. He said, "Well, it's a dollar, but if you can't afford the dollar, then you can have it for free. But if you can't afford it, then it's a dollar." Which led me to laugh out loud in front of his face, because that's not really the best way to actually make money or run a business. Is, hey, you can have your Starbucks latte if you want, if you can afford it. If not, we'll give it to you for free. See how well you last and how long your business actually stays active because of all the wonderful money that people are going to be generously giving you if you give them the option to give it for free, which is why every failed communist and socialist society out there has failed miserably. But this goes a bit deeper. So according to this second plan from Biden, because he's not allowed to defer the student loans any longer because the declaration of emergency of COVID-19 is over. We're back with the economy now. We've created the 10 million plus jobs, according to Joe Biden. The inflation's down to the lowest level it's ever been, except for when Donald Trump was in office, because why?
That's right. Donald Trump did that.
When we were at, you know, 2.5% inflation, not at 4% inflation, which is the lowest under Biden, not the lowest that we've seen over the past few years. According to them, if the economy is doing so well, why would we have a hard time paying our student loan debts? Why would we have a hard time doing that? Why wouldn't we just be able to ease back into them? Things go back to normal. We just include that into our monthly budget. But instead, because we're no longer allowed to completely just write off that debt, they have to come up with a new solution because
we're all going to die because of you.
So the on-ramp that is now, well, if you can pay it, cool, and you need to pay it. But if you can't pay it, you're not going to go into a default and have the government take a hit on your credit score for missing payments because we know it's very difficult for you. And doesn't that go just into a little bit deeper of a conversation of why don't my generation, especially the ones that have the majority of the student loan payments, why don't we understand how to budget or create a monthly budget or have any type of financial literacy in any way, shape, or form? Why don't we have that as a mandatory class, I don't know, coming out of high school, going into college, or even our parents teaching us, hey, you have this debt, need to budget for it, and make sure that all your bills are paid. Instead, we have my generation that's not saving, not investing, not paying off the bills, but instead they can't afford homes because they're holding on to the debt, and yet they want to go on vacations all the time and go travel the world and experience life, man. YOLO! You only live once. YOLO! Which I get, take advantage of the best you can, but I don't remember, got to be honest, don't remember the last time I actually took a vacation. I don't remember the last time I did that because, well, I don't have time, number one. Number two, I don't have the money to do so. Why? Because I know I've openly did this to myself by taking out massive amounts of student loans and paying on $1,000 of them every single month. That tightens up my budget just a little bit. But to them, the rebellion has begun. No longer will I pay my student loans because I was promised, and you better do something. So Joe Biden coming out with this new Higher Education Act and having this on-ramp to where if you pay it, cool. If not, you're not going to get a default for at least 12 months, giving you another 12 months to get backed up on things and just letting the interest just rack up as that starts taking effect, I believe, in September again. So that's nice. The other issue is I don't think that the Democrats, especially Joe Biden, understand how loans are done because maybe they haven't been in the private sector for a while. It's been a little bit, understand, so let's go ahead and break this down. When you take out a loan, you sign on the dotted line and say that you're going to take out and borrow this kind of money, and then you pay it back with a certain amount of interest, right? I know it's common sense. Every listener here is like, Andy, we understand that. Move on, get to the point. Joe Biden doesn't quite understand that, apparently, because we don't understand the difference between loans and grants.
Same time, think about this. We all supported the Paycheck Protection Program. Remember PPP, you know, which was designed to help business owners who lost money because of the pandemic? It was a worthy program. But let's be clear. Some of the same elected Republicans, members of Congress who strongly opposed giving relief to students, got hundreds of thousands of dollars themselves in relief, members of Congress, because of the businesses they were able to keep open. Several members of Congress got over $1 million. All those loans were forgiven. You know how much that program cost? $760 billion. My program's too expensive.
Yeah. So, again, under the preface of not trying to dumb and water things down too terribly much for the other side of the aisle, let's remind individuals that if you are a small business owner, which I know a lot of the listeners here on the Todd Starnes radio program are, that you probably remember that the PPP loans were a loan with the stipulation going into the program that if you use the program specifically for the salaries of employees to keep them on payroll instead of laying them off and increasing unemployment in the nation, or if you're trying to keep your business going in some way, shape, or form during the pandemic, there was already a stipulation in there that those loans would be forgiven. That was built in to the contract when someone signed up for those PPP loans. You use it for specific things like utilities and operational expense and for salaries for your employees. Then you don't have to pay these back, which is why so many individuals did that. There were a lot of businesses that didn't use it quite for that reason, but they tried to say so. And that's why the IRS says that they're going after them, because we're going to get you and we're going to do our investigation and our audit on you to make sure that you pay your fair share back in taxes and have to repay back those loans. But I didn't read the fine print on my student loan. I'm pretty sure that that clause saying that if things got tough or if a pandemic hit or if it just got too expensive that I didn't have to pay mine back and they would just automatically be forgiven. Maybe that's in it. Maybe I need to go back and read the fine print on my student loan contract, but I don't think that was included in there. But that was for the PPP. But yet these guys trying to make these political hack points don't understand the difference, or they're just using it for their political advantage to say, hey, look at that, all these tax people. Look at those evil rich people getting all these millions of dollars. And Republicans don't want to take care of the less fortunate ones taking out massive amounts of student loans. Instead of, we have a student loan crisis in the nation, we should probably be declaring a declaration of emergency on student loans. Let's figure out a way to increase financial literacy. Understand taking out $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $80,000 of student loans is a bad thing, and find other alternative ways to get through college through either working or saving up or doing getting scholarships or not having to go to a prestigious university just because of the name, but going to the community college down the road in order to get your degree and then work your way up based on experience and not based on what piece of paper that you hang up on your wall. It's a messed up world, and we have a much deeper issue to address here, but of course, we're not going to see the solutions coming out of Washington, D.C. Got to take a break, wrapping up this hour here on the Todd Starnes Radio Program. Andy Hoosier filling in for the great Todd Starnes. We'll be back in just a moment.
Experiences are what people love most about travel. With Viator, you can browse and book tours and activities so incredible you'll want to tell your friends. They offer everything from simple tours to extreme adventures in over 190 countries. There's something for everyone. Download the Viator app now and use Viator10 for 10% off your first booking. One app, over 300,000 experiences you'll remember. Do more with Viator.
Welcome back into it. Last few minutes here of this hour's Todd Starnes Radio Program. If you want to jump on the line, we'd love to hear from you at 844-747-8868. I know that you're out barbecuing, having some fun time with family and friends. You're making the PETA individuals very angry this weekend with your burgers and hot dogs and steaks and whatever else that you grill up during the weekend while you're on the lake having an adult beverage that probably isn't a Bud Light. I had seen the headline this weekend that one of the distributors making the bottles for Bud Light actually had to lay people off and shut their doors as the distributor, at least for Bud Light, because of the decrease in demand for the beer, which I applaud you again. That is our power and influence over the private sector. That's the power that we have. And they remind us and tell us constantly that we don't have a lot of influence and power as the private sector. But we're here to remind them, yeah, we do. We have a lot of power. In fact, we're the ones that continue to force the market on what direction we want in this whole woke movement from Disney and from Bud Light and the ESG movement, which is a whole other conversation for another day. Yeah, they're pushing it down that road, and we're starting to finally stand up and say, yeah, no, we're not going to do that, and we're going to start spending our money where we want to promote businesses that don't go down these ridiculous roads of insanity, and they don't like that. You got to remember, Democrats, they're the ones that win in power. Even if their agenda is extremely unpopular, they will ram it down our throats because they realize that they'll take a temporary hit in the polls. They may lose an election and lose their majority for a short time. But whatever gains that they made, there is now a new line, a new platform, a new foundation for them to build upon and start all over again when they do get in power, because we have very short-term memories in politics and we forgive very easily. And then the pendulum continues to swing back and forth, which is supposed to. I mean, let's be honest. It's supposed to swing back and forth, and times change and people change and opinions change. So we want a little bit of that fluctuation to hold ourselves and ground ourselves. If one party has all the power for too long, they become extremely corrupt. Republicans never do that. Hint, hint, wink, wink. I'm using the air quotes for all the radio listeners. So Democrats, they don't care, though. They'll continue to force their agenda, and even if it makes them lose an election, they'll continue that agenda. They'll set the new tone. They'll set the new foundation. So when they get back into power years down the road, there's a new foundation from the start, and they continue that progression down that road of wicked, wild socialism because, yeah, it's true. They're that egotistical.
Whatever. I do what I want.
So we have the student loan forgiveness. We have the affirmative action. We have the free speech bills. This is why they're angry, is because they're starting to lose the ground, and they're not used to losing that ground. It's like the thing that we've never, ever seen in our entire existence. When government grows an agency, we'll never see it go away. We'll never see it decreased. We'll never see it downsize. We'll never see it consolidate. We'll never see it do a budget cut. We'll never see that at all, which will lead us into our next hour. Congressman Ron Estes from the 4th Congressional District here in Kansas, my congressman, a good personal friend. He's also a good friend here on the Todd Starnes radio program as well. He'll join us to talk about that budgetary discussion and what's going on in Washington, D.C. This is the Todd Starnes radio program. Lots more coming up.
Hey, Mark, remember, getting help from Progressive is so easy. You can use the mobile app, chat with us online, or call us.
And you pick now to tell me.
I couldn't miss Little Grace's ballet recital. Oh, thanks for inviting me, by the way.
Did I?
Because you know I'm always here for you.
Yeah. I can use the mobile app if I need help. Sorry, you're in my wife's seat, though.
Oh, yeah, I gotta go anyway. Tell Grace she nailed her chaussee.
Get the help you need from Progressive with our mobile app, online chat, or over the phone. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, indeed it is. It's the Todd Starnes radio program. Although Todd taking some time off, needing some 4th of July, some Independence Day celebrations. Hopefully, Todd, you are out like on a lake somewhere, or at least floating in a pool somewhere with some tea. I know you love your iced tea and your sweet tea. Hopefully you're enjoying your tea and barbecuing up something delicious. I cannot wait. Coming from Memphis, Tennessee, man, I mean, come on. You got some of the great barbecue down there as well. Not to belittle what we have here in Kansas. Rhyme. My name's Andy Hoosier, filling in for Todd Starnes today on the Todd Starnes radio program, moving the Liberty University studios out to Wichita, Kansas for a day. As we get you set for your 4th of July, continue on. It's just continuation of what you did throughout the weekend going into your 4th of July celebrations and Independence Day tomorrow. We got some callers on the line. We'll get to you here in just a moment. You can call us at 844-747-8868, 844-747-8868. We've covered a lot of ground throughout the program today. More to come as well after the drop, the bombs from the Supreme Court of the United States and the repealing of Roe v. Wade last year, the shutting down of EPA regulations last year, the affirmative action, the rescinding of affirmative action this year, the canceling of the student loan forgiveness program, and the left is in an absolute tizzy, my friend.
We're all going to die because of you!
To talk about some of that and more, as we had to bring him on the program to talk about these issues and what it leads up to into the budgetary discussions for going into 2024. Can we have a semi-reasonable budget? And can we get this economy back on track? Because while the Biden administration seems to be touting the, 4% inflation, the best that we've seen here, it's still double what it was under the Trump administration going into that last session and working its way up to 7, 8, 9% across the nation. We're now back down to 4, which they're saying, hey, good job. We did something now. We have been successful, my friends.
We did it. We did it. We did it.
But the question is, has it been as successful as what they're telling us? On the line with us, he's, I know, a great guest on the program here for Todd Starnes frequently. He's also my personal congressman in the 4th Congressional District here in the state of Kansas and a great friend, as we've had him on the radio show for years and years, is Congressman Ron Estes from the 4th District. Congressman, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, Andy. Thanks for having me on today.
Yeah, it's so good to talk to you, especially here on the Todd Starnes program. The claim from Karine Jean-Pierre and the Biden administration saying that inflation's down to 4%, the best that it's probably going to get, and the economy's back on track. We've created 10 million jobs. We were able to get this stuff back on track now that we've passed this debt ceiling bill from just last month. Is this true, or is the economy doing as well as what they're telling us, because I don't know about you, but I tried to go out and buy some fireworks and buy some meat for the weekend and buy some gas to put it in my tank, and I still think things are a little bit more expensive than what they were back in the day.
Things really are. They're not really telling the whole story. They're trying to cherry pick numbers and indicate that things are looking better. I mean, when they say that inflation's only gone up 4% in the last year, that just means it's gone up 4% on top of the 9% that it did the year before. So, you know, in all total, since President Biden took office, prices are up 15.5% for the exact same things at the grocery store, the exact same rent, the exact same, you know, house or car that you buy. It's up 15% more. And you know, Americans are seeing through this. You know, nearly 70% of Americans are saying the economy's poor or bad. So, you know, Biden obviously is a bad thing, and we're suffering through this. You can see it in gas prices. I mean, that's probably one of the better things that we see at the pump every day. And you know, it's up almost over 50% from when President Biden took office. And it's down from Putin's invasion, but it's still up from Biden. So we could handle the price increase due to Putin, but we can't handle Biden's attack on an energy independent America.
Yeah, I'm so glad you mentioned the how we measure this inflation, because that has been a point I don't think people really put hand in hand or grasp until we really lay that out, is that when we look at inflation, and correct me if I'm wrong, we look at it on a year over year basis. So at this time last year, if we were at 7-8%, now we're only at 4%. That's not 4% from the original base from 3-5 years ago when we saw the 9% increase. That's on top of the 9% we had seen last year. So really, since the Trump administration now to the Biden administration, like you said, we're sitting at almost 15% inflation for the last 3 years.
That's right. It's over 15%, and it's a cumulative impact. I mean, they try to paint this picture that prices are, inflation's down, which makes it sound like a good thing, but it just means that their prices are continuing to impact and add up a cumulative impact on all of us. And it's a struggle for Americans, and Americans are seeing through this false story that they're talking about Bidenomics, so it's going to be a continuous problem as we try to work through, you know, in another month, parents will be looking at their kids going back to school and having to buy school supplies and new clothes and the impact that's going to be on that, and the Biden administration just doesn't get it. They try to put this positive spin out there when it's not the truth at all. And so yeah. we're trying to talk about it as much as we can about the real impact of that 15.5% in terms of buying the same amount of goods.
Yeah, well, and it's very easy to do, because while we go into an off election year, but as we're trying to gear up and prepare the Republican Party for major elections next year, all we have to do is just get out of the way and let them shoot themselves in the foot by trying to say how great the economy is. I mean, I love when CNBC comes out and says this post-COVID.
To me, we have the strongest economy perhaps I have ever seen.
I mean, that's the lie they try to promote. I got to pick your brain, though, real quick, Congressman, on some of the SCOTUS rulings that came out at the end of last week, especially the student loan forgiveness program. I know we are trillions upon trillions upon trillions of dollars in debt as a nation. They wanted to do this just forgiveness, just consume it all at the federal level. I don't know how we could have afforded such a thing, so I'm glad the Supreme Court shot this down. But now he's trying to push this Higher Education Act to do it for, quote-unquote, special circumstances, for the air quotes for our radio listeners. What does that mean, and what's the new conversation now with trying to absorb more debt when we're trying to get things under balance that we have right now?
Yeah, the disheartening thing about this is that they try to mask it with a nice-sounding word of debt forgiveness, you know, but it's not debt forgiveness. It's debt being transferred to other taxpayers. And President Biden ignored the Constitution, ignored the law in terms of his scheme to try to transfer this debt on other taxpayers that have to pay off. I mean, just trying to use his dictatorial powers to go through that. And what the numbers showed is that the top 13, there were only 13% of Americans that had outstanding student debt, and they were the higher income folks, and they were expecting the middle class to pay off their taxes. And I noticed there was a story at the end of last week where one former New York State senator was complaining about her student loan debt, and yet just last year bought a $1 million house. So basically they want taxpayers in Kansas to pay their student loan debt so that they can afford their $1 million house. And that's just not right.
Yeah, well, then they try to play the game, the political game of saying that Republicans only care about the rich people because, well, we forgave the PPP loans during COVID, but we're not relieving the $20,000, $10,000 of student loan debt for just average Americans. When, Congressman, I don't remember the fine line print on my student loan contract, but I don't remember it saying that it would be forgiven under these circumstances. I do remember the PPP loan saying that if you spent that money on like keeping employees during the pandemic, that we wouldn't have to pay those back. A little bit different circumstances there, aren't they?
That really is. And they're really distorting the facts again. I mean, the Paycheck Protection Program was designed to help keep middle-class Americans in jobs and not be unemployed. And that was the whole intention there. So now they're coming back and saying, "Oh, those loans are for the rich people." They weren't. They were designed for, you know, the average middle class to be able to keep their jobs instead of having to go on unemployment. And what they're not saying is that there's only 13%, and it's a wealthy that have the student loans that would be given this debt transfer to other taxpayers who maybe worked their way through college or maybe, had multiple jobs or maybe took longer time to get their degree because they didn't want to go in debt. They were fiscally responsible. And now they're trying to come back and say, well, somebody needs to pay off my debt because I want a freebie. And that's just not right.
Yeah, it's a little ridiculous. Talk with Congressman Ron Estes from the 4th District of Kansas, my congressman here in the Wichita, Kansas area. Let's shift gears a little bit. You're on the Ways and Means Committee. Obviously, you've been working on budgetary issues. Now that we have enough money to get through this year and go into the next fiscal year, how is this process looking? We've talked about this, you and I have, for years on the 12 appropriation bills. For those that don't know how the budget works, we're not supposed to pass a major just omnibus package, pass it to see what's in it. We're supposed to have 12 appropriations bills. This is all for discretionary spending that's supposed to look at issues. Where can we fund more? Where can we trim? Where can we consolidate? Where can we do better? And we haven't had that since the Obama years. Congressman, do we have the hope of actually having a decent federal budget this coming year?
Well, and actually, the 12 appropriations bills haven't passed even long before the Obama administration. It's just become the way of doing things in Washington, and we're taking a different approach this year. And I know that the debt limit bill that was passed saved some money, but now we've come back, and as we're working on appropriations bills for next fiscal year, and the 12 bills to cover the different parts of government, whether it's the Agriculture Department, whether it's the Energy Department, whether it's Defense, each of those are tied to one of those 12 bills. We're looking at let's use the fiscal 2022 numbers as our appropriation number. So we're working on that in the House of Representatives, and the different subcommittees on the Appropriations Committee are going through their particular items and responsibilities. So when we get back after July 4th holiday, we'll be diving deep into getting those appropriations bills passed out of the House of Representatives and get over to the Senate so we can go through the process back and forth and come up with a fiscal 24 budget. We've got to start slowing down the rate of spending. That's our problem. We've seen such an explosion of spending, and President Biden didn't do any favors with the budget he proposed. He proposed increasing the deficit by $17 trillion over the next 10 years, primarily by just increasing spending. And the whole problem with that is, we're over $32 trillion in debt now. And we can't leave that debt on our grandchildren and great-grandchildren to pay off just to support the lifestyle that people want to live today.
Yeah, well, that is very true. Well, the hardest part about all this is that you guys primarily focus on that discretionary spending. There's a whole nother 50, 55, 60% of the federal budget that's the mandatory spending that we're not allowed to touch. Now, I had seen a headline earlier today from the New York Times saying the conservatives are trying to push for the largest deep cuts in spending in the history of this country, and they're trying to overturn our economy and our budget, and they're freaking out over these cuts you guys are trying to propose. Is there a chance that we can actually touch and look at this mandatory spending category and get some of these social programs in order for us to, like you said, start decreasing that spending limit.
You're right. I mean, typically we talk about the 12 appropriations bills, and that's discretionary spending, which is less than a third of the total spending of the federal government on any given year. We've got to start making some serious discussions. Everybody knows that Social Security Trust Fund is going to run down to zero by 2034. But there's so many people in the political arena that want to demagogue about it, and they say, well, don't do anything about it and put it off, and because they'll attack you for trying to solve a problem that we know is out there, and we just got to address it. So we've got to be smart and start thinking and looking ahead. I mean, that's one of the things that rarely happens in government, is solving problems, at least at the federal level, solving problems before they're absolute last minute. And we've got to start focusing on some of these major spending programs that I call them automatic spending programs that deal with a lot of programs that happen either because of income levels or because of enrollment. The sooner we start focusing on this, the simpler it'll be to solve some of these problems if we just take the political will to do it.
That's what we got to do. It's the political will, and it's very difficult, but it's step by step. You guys are working on it, and I know you've been battling hard and strong up there in Washington, D.C. It's Congressman Ron Estes from the 4th District of Kansas right here in my home front, my congressman, and it's great to get you on the Todd Starnes radio program, my friend. We're out of time, but let's do it again here real soon, brother.
Well, great. Thank you, Andy. Appreciate being on Todd Starnes today.
Hey, absolutely appreciate it. That's Congressman Ron Estes right there on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotlines. We appreciate his time very, very much coming on, giving us an update, what we get to look forward to with budgetary geeking out conversations out of Washington, D.C. Got to take a break, right? Lots more coming up right here on the Todd Starnes radio program.
Una de las especies más peculiares del mundo latino es el Padreus protectorus, que vive colgado encima de sus hijos como un koala.
Vamos contigo por si le pasa algo a tu auto.
Mamá, voy a estar bien.
Pero este instinto sobreprotector se está extinguiendo, porque State Farm está ahí las 24 horas si los necesitas. Así que los padres finalmente están soltando a sus hijos a la naturaleza.
¡Nos mandas fotos!
Como un buen vecino, State Farm está ahí. Llama para obtener una cotización hoy.
Welcome back into it. It's the Todd Starnes radio program. Andy Hoosier filling in for Todd today on a Monday. Continuing on, we're just extending your Independence Day celebrations here on the program. Thanks to Congressman Ron Estes, my congressman here out of the 4th District of the state of Kansas, talking about some budget. I know I'd like to geek out and dork out with him a little bit as we talk about budgetary issues and taxes and inflation. But to me, we have a hard time talking about other political issues when we have this looming economic crisis on our hands, because if we don't have a stable economy and a stable country, we can't talk about other minor issues as well. But we appreciate him coming on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotline. 844-747-8868. If you want to jump in and chat with us, we would love to hear from you. And with that, let's go to the phones here and let's talk to Patty in North Carolina on WSIC Radio. Patty, how are you today?
Hi, Andy. How are you?
I am living the dream.
Well, you know, you're doing a good job.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
You are. I love Todd. I love the station. I mean, he does so much, and the whole station, they're really good, everybody there. And, yeah. I was at the rally in Plaxton.
Yes. How was it? Is Donald something. Trump still getting the massive crowds that he was before?
He had over 50,000 people there. Are you kidding me? There wasn't three cars honking horns, okay?
That's amazing. I love it. So, in other words, the lawsuits that are going after him to try and to dwindle his support because of how corrupt he is, not working. Okay. Another fail on the Democrat side.
Let me tell you something. The more you go after this man, the more he gets power.
Yeah. It's true. It's true. And they don't understand it. They don't understand why people continue to grow with support with him, because they're so delusional in their mind, not understanding the political persecution going on right now.
Well, did you ever have a conversation with a liberal?
I try to avoid those, or at least limit that exposure.
I mean, give me a break. It's like talking to the wall. My pit bull has more sense, okay? And I'm going to tell you something. I went there. I mean, it was so hot. This man, how does he do it? He's going through all this. Since he came down that escalator with his beautiful wife, he's going through all this for how many years? How many years?
Yeah. And he continues to fight on. But if you listen to the mainstream media,
he's like the Energizer rabbit. This man don't stop.
I get it. I get it, Patty. We got to take a break here. I appreciate that. Thank you for that update from that rally. The dwindling support from Donald Trump, according to the media, must be.
You are fake news.
So, you know what? I appreciate that, Patty, and happy Independence Day to you. Thank you so much for jumping on the program with us. Man, the support continues to grow. 30, 20, 30, 40, 50,000 people showing up. Rallies not going anywhere. All right, last half hour on the home stretch here for the Todd Starnes radio program for a Monday. Stay right here.
Johnny Saddlebags.
Slippery Pete.
This town ain't big enough for the both of us.
Ain't but one thing to do.
Yep, start banking at Community Banks.
Say what now?
We'll grow this town bigger by doing business with Community Banks. That way our money will get reinvested locally and help small businesses grow and prosper.
Son of a saddle spur. This town will be big enough for the both of us.
Help your community grow. Find your community bank at banklocally.org.
Welcome back into it. It's the Todd Starnes radio program. Andy Hoosier filling in on the home stretch here. Boy, oh boy, it flies right on by for Monday as we continue on your Independence Day, 4th of July celebrations. Barbecue, baby. Light it up and have some fun. Have that adult beverage, although hopefully it may not be Bud Light. I'm assuming that there's not many Bud Light connoisseurs that are listening to the program right now. So happy Independence Day to you, and appreciate you hanging out with us today on your holiday. Thanks again to Congressman Ron Estes in the last half hour coming on the program on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotline. And let's go back to that, shall we, as we get you set again for your holiday and as you're celebrating and trying to remember. I have an intriguing question. Is there the same amount of patriotism now as what there was 10 years ago? 20 years ago, 25 years ago, I remember right after 9/11. Now, again, I'm 34, so that happened when I was in like sixth grade. But I still remember it very vividly when 9/11 happened. And I remember at that time, after 9/11, when the entire country came together, the biggest issue at that time was not the America deserved it. You know, the chickens are coming home to roost. Remember those comments? I remember the biggest issue then was that we had a littering problem because there were so many people putting American flag stickers all over poles across the city of New York and other places around the country. That patriotism, the love for country, is there. Nowadays, not so much. We don't hear about it. We're seeing a little bit different curriculum in our public education system. We're seeing the education dwindle on understanding the beauty and the symbolism of the American flag and how to properly fold it and what the stars and stripes actually mean and how to properly display it. We don't learn that stuff quite as much. So is the patriotism, the quote-unquote nationalism, which is another great term that we can get into here in a little bit, is it dwindling in society? On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker Hotline, excited to have on here to talk about some of this and more, he's the president of Wall Builders, which you can find online at wallbuilders.com, Mr. Tim Barton. Tim, how are you, my friend?
I'm well. Thanks for having me on today.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming on here on the Todd Starnes program. That's the big question. Do you think we still have as much patriotism today as what we did back in the day, back in the good old days, 20, 30 years ago?
Well, I don't think we do, but I think it's only because we've been planting different seeds, and whatever seeds you plant, that's the kind of crop you grow. And when we're telling the rising generation about how bad and awful and terrible America is, when you plant those kind of seeds, then the fruit that you harvest from that crop you've been planting and cultivating and developing is going to be kids grow up thinking America's terrible. When we look at the rising generation and the reality that less than 20% of them think America's a good nation, that is why we're having the problems. And even though we could point out when progressives took over education all the way back in the early 1900s, come forward, 1980, when Howard Zinn wrote his famous book, A People's History of the United States, and Howard Zinn is really the one that kind of popularized in modern culture so much of this narrative of how bad and evil and terrible America is. And he does it with, I mean, bogus history, right? I mean, terrible, not accurate a representation of America or some of these heroes that should be honored. Instead, over recent years, we've seen their statues and monuments defaced and torn down. But this is the natural consequence when you plant these kind of seeds. This is the kind of crop you grow. And so what we should be doing is, instead of trying to wokeify our rising generation, we should be telling them the truth. America's not perfect, but America is still one of the most special nations in the history of the world. There's a reason we have an immigration problem in the South. And it's not just because Joe Biden's opened the border. It's because people actually want to be in America. There's not an immigration problem in Russia. There's not an immigration problem in China. You pick any other major nation, nobody is fighting and going crazy to get in that nation like they are in America. So even with all of our problems, there's still something really special about this nation.
They still see the opportunity. The streets paved with gold, the opportunity for everyone, which, like you said, this is why they're flooding into our borders right here. But yet we have, you mentioned the public education system. Let's go there for a second. The planting of the seeds, the rebranding of what America stands for. We have a generation that's growing up, or multiple generations growing up, thinking that this nation is literally founded on racism and white privilege and just being able to abuse other individuals. And that if any people of the minority descent, identity, politics, flavor of the day, whatever they want to do, if they get and they succeed, then it's because they've sold themselves out and have partnered with the evil white people in our European ideals in this nation. So therefore, you either fail and you're a victim, or you succeed because you've sold yourself out. Doesn't seem like a very popular opinion of the country.
No, and certainly is something that, I mean, it's antithesis to, antithetical to what MLK Jr. promoted, right? Where his famous "I Have a Dream" speech. And his dream was that we would judge people not based on the color of their skin, but on the content of their character. And now we are promoting Marxism in the educational system and really around culture in general with this wokeism. It really is Marxism. Marxism says that you divide people into groups, and that certain groups are oppressed and certain groups are oppressors. That's Marxism at its core, that the basis of it. And that's what we've done in education. And one of the things is, we're getting ready for 4th of July. It's worth noting, if you go back to July 2nd, this is when the declaration, the original draft of the declaration was presented to Congress, in the sense of July 2nd, the Continental Congress, that's when they actually voted to separate from Great Britain, become an independent nation. And at that point, they said, we need to figure out the proper wording. So they began going over the original draft of the declaration. July 4th is when they approved the final wording of the declaration. But yep. What everybody ought to do, as we're talking about how we celebrate this holiday, one of the things we ought to do, go back and read the original draft. Because in the original draft of the declaration, the longest and largest grievance of the original draft was a grievance against the slave trade, against ultimately slavery, and arguing for the humanity of the slave. And this was something that the founding fathers were saying, one of the reasons we should separate from the king is because we have tried so many times to end the slave trade. We've tried to stop some of the evils of slavery, defending the humanity of the slaves, and the king continues to veto all of the laws we've been passing. And literally, this is the largest grievance in the original draft. This is something that so many founding fathers were concerned with. And it's the exact opposite of what the 1619 narrative promotes and proclaims. It's the exact opposite of what our kids are hearing. But it is in the original draft. The only reason it wasn't in the final draft is because there were two colonies, Georgia and South Carolina, who said, you know, we've never tried to end the slave trade. We've never tried to pass anti-slavery laws. So we don't think this needs to be included. And John Hancock said they would only include in the final draft what was unanimously agreed to by all of the colonies. And because two states opposed it, they removed it, but 11 of the 13 voted in favor of it. And in fact, when we separated from Great Britain, every single northern colony began passing anti-slave trade and anti-slavery laws, because this was one of the major movements and issues the founding fathers had, contrary to the modern perception today. And the only reason that people think America was rooted in and promoted and born in slavery is because we don't know history, and we're just buying into the modern narrative that is being promoted in academics and education. And this is where we tell people, we do a lot with American History at Wall Builders, and we will tell people, don't take our word for it. We will show you the documents where you can go back and look this up and read it. And of course, different than when so many professors are like, just, you know, trust me, Dr. Fauci's like, just take my word. I am the science. Like, no, we should stop taking the word of these quote unquote experts. Let's go back to the actual document. And if we would just go back and read the original draft of the Declaration and see what were the initial problems that they believed were the issues we should separate from Great Britain, become our own nation, the largest grievance they had outlined in the Declaration was a grievance trying to end the slave trade, fighting against slavery itself, and promoting the equality of and the humanity of the individuals who were being enslaved in the African slave trade.
See, this is the information that makes you swell up with pride for this nation, knowing how amazing this nation is, knowing how much we love this country and how little, I guess, the other side either doesn't know or doesn't want to know and put on that blinders to try and educate the youth of America. For example, try and set the stage for us just for a second. The founding fathers writing these grievances out, writing the Declaration of Independence. What was the scenario here and the potential backlash that they could receive on something like this? Because the narrative is that they're the super rich white landowners that have all these slaves and that they're the ones that just had all the money to dominate society and kind of take over. When that wasn't the case for those that signed on the dotted line at the end of the Declaration of Independence.
Correct. There certainly were. There were a couple wealthy individuals. However, the majority of the founding fathers, they were normal people. Some were farmers, some were teachers, some were doctors, some were just businessmen. These were normal people. And really, for people that have a perspective, one of the names that we probably all recognize is Sam Adams, because right, he's one of the guys that has a beer named after him. He's a pretty famous guy. I would encourage people, just go back and research Sam Adams. When he was first chosen, the founding fathers, specifically he was chosen to be a founding father, but his home state, his home area territory, when they chose him to be their representative to send to Continental Congress to become a founding father, they chose him because he was one of the most articulate. He understood things and explained things the way they liked it the best. But when he was chosen to go, his community, the townspeople, were a little embarrassed to send him because he was a failure at business. And because he was a failure at business, he didn't have any money. Because he didn't have any money, he only had one suit. And it was really old and shabby. He had one pair of stockings, and they had holes in them. So the town actually took up a collection so they could buy him a new suit. They bought him several pairs of stockings because they wanted to make sure that he didn't look really shabby and terrible when he got there and therefore wouldn't be accepted. He'd be discredited because he looked so shabby. This was certainly a white guy, but he was absolutely poor. He was a failure at every business he ever tried, but he was such an incredible, outspoken patriot. And so this narrative today that all the founding fathers were these really wealthy, rich, white landowners, they all had slaves, absolutely, the generalizations are not correct. And there are some that are so different from that very notion. If we knew their stories, we would never buy into these narratives. It's just we don't know very many of their stories anymore, which is something else. As people get ready to celebrate independence, that they ought to take a look at the 56 signers of the Declaration and just pick one. Just look up one, see who they were. What was their life about? What did they accomplish? What was their family like? If we begin to learn some of the stories, we would recognize how many lies we've been told, because the way you expose a lie is with the truth. And if we begin to discover the truth, we would not buy into this awful, terrible founding father mythology. We wouldn't buy into this America's evil mythology, because we would actually know the truth.
Yeah, amen to that. I absolutely love it, because we need to know that truth. To put yourself in that situation, to really sit down and put yourself in that time era in their shoes on what they were doing is phenomenal and scary all at the same time with what they actually had to go through. When did we start seeing this manipulation of the education system to take away the nationalist, quote-unquote, pride, the patriotic pride, the understanding of American history, to understand what was really happening and only give one narrative? When did this really start infiltrating this public system?
Well, it's something we can see when progressives took over in the early 1900s. They had a very different ideology. Woodrow Wilson, one of the leaders and heroes for the progressive movement, one of the things he's on record saying is that the goal of a university should be to make a child as unlike his father as possible. And so literally from the very beginning, progressives are like, yeah, how can we change the idea of what kids should be embracing, make them different from even the values that their parents embrace. So this was from the very beginning. When you have individuals like Rockefeller, when it's in kind of the height of the Industrial Revolution and assembly lines are coming in, and Rockefeller says, you know, we need schools to start producing better factory workers, not better thinkers. We need to shift the goal of education and don't make them critical thinkers and problem solvers. We need to create or produce people out of the education system that are better assembly line workers who will just take orders and do what they are told. Well, this was part of where that shift happened. And then over the years, over the decades, you see different people getting involved in the system who were embracing Marxism. And part of Marxism is that you want to tear down the status quo so you can replace it with something else. And the way that you tear down the status quo is for literally the last 60 years, they've been villainizing the founding fathers. In the 60s and 70s, they said the founding fathers were a bunch of immoral sexual fanatics, right? They had all these affairs and they had all these illegitimate children. In the 80s and 90s, we were told they really weren't religious and they hated God and they were atheists, agnostics, and deists. And they wanted separation of church and state. When you come to the 2000s, the present, we've heard these narratives that they're all these racist, bigoted slaveholders, which is absolutely not true. But for 60 years, they've been villainized. Why? Because unless you can villainize the founding fathers, you can never have any reason to realistically attack the Declaration, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. But sure. If you can say the founding fathers were evil, then you can say, well, therefore the Constitution, the Declaration, the Bill of Rights, they're evil, and replace it. And this is the goal of Marxism, is to replace the status quo, to come in with a different socialist, communist, Marxist regime. And so we've been seeing this go on for decades, and you can watch the progress all the way back from the early 1920s.
Well, and it reaffirms the entire idea that Barack Obama had back in the day was we want to, quote unquote, fundamentally transform the United States of America, which yes. is exactly what they're doing. We're talking with Tim Barton, the president of Wall Builders, wallbuilders.com. You can also find him on the Tweety at Tim David Barton. Last question before we let you go in about a minute or so. But we started off the program with the fact that streaming services, Hulu and HBO and Netflix and everyone else, they had all their collaboration and their montage of Pride movies for Pride Month. But yet I don't see those on for 4th of July and all my patriotic movies. I'm still waiting to see The Patriot with Mel Gibson because that's my favorite one to watch as a tradition every single year. What's your favorite movie when it comes to the that really encases this idea and brings us back to that time on the struggles of creating this nation? Do you have one of those favorites? And what do you recommend for the next couple of days for Independence Day?
Oh, man. All of those kind of movies like The Patriot. In fact, I mean, even things like Saving Private Ryan, The Longest Day, all of those military movies, the reason America is a free nation is because there were patriots who were willing to sacrifice their lives, fortune, and sacred honors, who were willing to take up arms against tyrants and tyranny all over the world. And so certainly The Patriot's got to be one of them. But there's so many of those great classic war movies. And you're right. It is only revealing of their anti-American bias that in the midst of Pride Month, they put up all these movies promoting these whatever alphabet soup variations there are, and yet they don't do things promoting America. That reflects their bias. They should be putting up things like The Patriot, so we should celebrate the people that have gone before us, the price that was paid, so we could be free.
Amen to that. There are two times that I cry watching a show, and that is either watching Mel Gibson wave the American flag telling people to move forward, or when Jack Bauer is saving us from terrorism in that show 24. Those are the only times that I ever cry, my friend, and you know, we're about that time to actually watch those again. It's Tim Barton, wallbuilders.com. Wallbuilders.com, go and check out all the great content, being able to bring the morals and values back in this country, re-education, finding the hidden gems in history that's been lost and forgotten with this progressive agenda. Tim, we appreciate coming on the program, my friend, very much.
Thanks so much for having me on. My pleasure.
Hey, absolutely. Great content there. One more break. We'll take it, wrap up here the program for a Monday here on 4th of July, Independence Day special here on the Todd Starnes radio program. Welcome back into it. It's the Todd Starnes radio program. Thanks again to Tim Barton coming on the program, wallbuilders.com. Great information, great content, trying to give you those hidden nuggets of history, trying to bring back that foundation of morals and values and, you know, structure in the country so we can actually function the proper way. 844-747-8868, 844-747-8868 for the last couple minutes here on the show as we wrap things up. And let's go to Susan in Alabama listening on Facebook in the stream there. Susan, how are you today?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on. And actually, it's Suzanne.
I'm sorry. Hi, Suzanne.
That's okay. No problem. Just wanted to make a comment about a little discovery that I made through a book that I picked up in a thrift store this weekend. And it was a book, I think it was called The Journal of American History. And it was basically a bunch of reviews of books and movies and writings, and I think it was published in 2000 or 2001, and I just picked it up, flipped through it, and saw where some scholar had done a review of the movie The Patriot, which has always been one of my favorite movies. I think about it this time every year, and it just makes me so grateful for the sacrifices that our forefathers made so we could enjoy the freedoms that we've historically had as a Christian nation. But one thing that has always troubled me about the movie was the scene in the movie where the women and families were in the church and the British board the church up and burn the church, and everyone inside the church loses their life. And of course, all this took place in the movie. South Carolina is the state.
Yeah, that's a hard one. Susan, I hate to cut you off. We're out of time, my friend, but that is a devastating scene on there. I have to check out this book to learn about the historical accuracy on that one. That does it for us, everybody. Have a wonderful Independence Day.